The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We have to know that in Christ, we have power and authority in Jesus' name as sons and daughters of the King to say, no, the thought got in my mind, but it is not going to stay in my mind. And the way it's not going to stay in my mind is not by me saying, oh, I'm not going to think about that. I'm just not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about it. No, I'm going to replace it.
Louis Giglio encourages you to fight the self-defeating mindset and exclaims, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Next.
Louis Giglio, I wish you were right here. The studio would be full. Everybody would be clapping. I just can't tell you how much Betty and I love you. We welcome you to life today. I thank you for the Passion Conferences. I thank you for the passion and love of God that is really dominant in your life. I want you to know we love you, Louis.
Hey, I wish I were sitting there with you as well. I love you guys so much. I consider myself a part of the Life Today family. And I love being in the studio. I also love getting to have dinner with you before every show that we do. That's one of the highlights of my time there. So it's great to see you. You look amazing as always. It's good to see that God's taking care of you and bringing you through this crazy time. And thank you for everything you do to change the lives of people around the world. I love your heart for people, and I love you. So it's great being with you today.
Well, thank you, Louis. It's good to be with you. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. I got to be honest with you. I like this. It's time to win the battle of your mind. I think the enemy has a seat at too many tables. And I think those tables go everywhere from the highest places of authority right down to the local family and community subdivision or wherever you live. And boy, he just really doesn't need a seat at the table. Sometimes it looks like we've left the King of Kings and Lord of Lords without a seat at the table. We got all this confusion. What inspired you to write this? Because I can tell, I could just tell in the book there's a lot of zeal in here.
Well, A, just so people don't freak out, we're not talking about my enemy that Jesus said, love your enemy. We're talking about the enemy. We're talking about the yes. adversary. We're talking about the one that the scripture says prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I hate to say it, but I've been honest on your show every time I've been there. I come through a hard season of life, and some things were said and done that maybe weren't fair. This was a decade ago. And a month went by, 2 months went by, and something happened that vindicated me. And it was a small private thing. And, you know, we have a tendency to want to commiserate in moments like that. And so I reached out to a friend who'd walked through the whole thing with me, sent him a text and said, you're not going to believe what happened today. You know, just give things time. And, you know, the truth will always kind of come to the surface. And I really just wanted commiseration. But I got a short text back. In fact, it was 9 words long. And I was like, surely that's not the whole text. You're going to send me another one and say, I hit send too fast. But I looked down at the text, guys, and it said, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And I was standing in my driveway. I can remember it like it was 2 seconds ago. And that phrase arrested me, and I realized that through this whole process, I had let the enemy, the adversary, pull up a seat at the table that my shepherd has prepared for me in the presence of any circumstance and any situation where he has promised me himself. He's promised me that we're going to make it together, and I let the enemy just pull up a chair at my table, and I was having in my mind a conversation with a killer. And right in that moment, I knew I'm going to take back my table in Jesus' name. I'm going to take back my mind, my thoughts, and my thinking in Jesus' name. And that text led me to the text, Psalm 23. And that so text came to life for me in a brand new way. The Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah. And all of a sudden, this idea sprang up from a talk which I gave around a table with a few seats. And the talk has now traveled around the world, and I saw the way it impacted people, the way that little phrase has impacted people. And fortunately, we've now got it in a book so more people can take back control of their thinking and can get back into the place where God wants them to be.
Louis, do you think that sometimes we're unaware when we allow the enemy to come into our situations, our life existence, and are we always thinking, well, that was just a moment, but we kind of let
You know, I think most times we're unaware of it because he never rocks up to the table and says, hey, I'm here to steal everything you've got. I'm here to destroy everything that God has dreamed about for your life. He comes up and he just picks up a cup of coffee and says, how you doing? How are things at home? You know, I don't know how you hung in there all this time. I don't think I would have made it if I was you. Yeah. How things at work, you know, your boss is a jerk. I don't know how you stay at that company. And he starts down that road that we all want someone to come alongside us and give us that commiseration. And he starts by just prodding. And, you know, he only needs a little bitty sliver to get in there, to get between a marriage or between two business partners or to get into our own thinking. He just needs a little crack or a little crevice to get in. But boy, once he gets in and we start partnering with him in those thoughts and we dwell on those thoughts, then all of a sudden there is a foothold and a root. And when that root takes heart into our thinking, into our minds, all of a sudden the dominoes start rolling. And sooner or later, there's going to be an action out there because all of our thoughts ultimately lead to some kind of action in our world.
I want to ask you, because that's just so keen. He comes at you when he gets in place with the Bible talks about the fiery darts of the enemy. He's not running around with a gun, a dart gun or an arrow gun or blowing darts. He's firing suggestions and accusations. Yeah. And he gives you justification for the anger or the bitterness or the unforgiveness. He'll just make you realize that they're really worse than you even think they are, and they deserve worse, and maybe you can dump some worse on them, and he'll give you some suggestions on how you can dump worse on them. Isn't that the way he comes at you? So when he gets to the table, this is the darts that he's firing, suggestions. He'll show you how to manipulate people, how to use people, take advantage of people. Does that sound like the enemy at the table that doesn't belong there?
He's going to get there, and we talk about some major ways that you can know the enemy's at your table. And we talk about a few suggestions. For example, if you've heard recently that it's better at another table than the table that the Lord has prepared for you, then you know the enemy is at your table. If he's saying, hey, if you could just get out of this relationship, get away from your family, go to a new city, start a new life, that's where it's going to be great for you. The enemy's at your table. If you're hearing things like, you're not going to make it. I don't think you're going to make it this time. And then we start repeating what he's telling us. So if someone comes to you and says, how are you doing? And you go, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, where did I get that idea? I don't know if I'm going to make it. I didn't get it from my shepherd who's sitting at the table for me with me, because he just told me, even if we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we're going to make it. He is with me. So if I'm saying to you, I don't think I'm going to make it through this season, or I don't know if I'm going to recover from this situation, I don't know if I'm ever going to be normal again, I didn't hear that from the shepherd. I heard that from the enemy. If he says you're surrounded and there's no way out, that did not come from your shepherd. If he says, oh, everybody's against you, watch your back, that did not come from your shepherd. And so these are the big lies that we grab onto. And I think the biggest one of all is he's at our table and he's saying to people, you're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You didn't come from the right family. You don't have the right background. You are not enough. And there's so many people, even in the church, and they're coming into worship every single time we gather, and they're already feeling less than when the King has invited them to sit down and dine with him. That's how much value we have, that our shepherd would lay down his life for us. So this table he's prepared, this reservation that he booked, it was expensive. And it's because he values us and loves us and wants to have a relationship with every one of us.
And he'll lead us in green pastures, not barren deserts. He loves to take care of us. He loves for our cup to run over with goodness and mercy that follows us forever. He'll anoint our head with the same anointing that's on Him. He'll put His blessings all over us when the enemies are all around us accusing us. If we could just grasp, I want to read just several of the chapter titles. Now, you make it very clear that the 23rd Psalm, which for the last 3 years, I've been preaching all over this. I mean, you can just break this thing down and preach on it a year. Matter of fact, what you just got started, you may be preaching this the rest of your life. I mean, you may just come right back up to 23 and stay there. But here, let me read these chapter titles. And if you want to jump on one of them, it just kind of jumps out while I'm reading them and say, let me expound on that just a little bit or expound. Deadly lies exposed. So you probably list some of those. The spiral of sin, freedom revolution, take every thought captive, grace that silences shame. Boy, the enemy's putting shame on people and shame on the church, but we put more shame on people who are already ashamed and shamed. And that is a big non-grace factor in practice. Wow. So I have an idea you're going to really, let's just say, you're going to show people that grace can silence that nonsense. Then you say, staggered by the mountain, and then the garden of your mind. Take off on any of those you'd like to for the little time we've
got. Well, I think the idea of taking every thought captive is the heart of this message. You know, that's Paul encouraging us and encouraging the church in Corinth. And what happens in our lives is that thousands of thoughts come through our mind every day, and we don't know where they come from, how they get in there. But all kinds of thoughts, suggestions, ideas float into our minds. And I think once they're there, a lot of times we just accept them and say, well, I'm going to think about that because it's in my mind now. And what God says is, no, you're the steward of your mind. So when the thought comes in, you have to do a few things. Number one, you have to examine that thought and question that thought. We have to take that authority in Christ and say, where did that thought come from? Does it match God's character? Does it match God's word? Does it match God's will and God's way? Does it mirror the example of the person of who Jesus is? And if it doesn't, if it fails the test, that thought right there, that thought does not look like, sound like my King. It does not match up to God's word. And so I now have to bind that thought. Take it captive in Jesus' name. And one of two things is going to be bound. Either that thought's going to bind me, or I'm going to bind that thought. And people need to take responsibility for their own thinking. We have to know that in Christ, we have power and authority in Jesus' name as sons and daughters of the King to say, no, the thought got in my mind, but it is not going to stay in my mind. And the way it's not going to stay in my mind is not by me saying, oh, I'm not going to think about that. I'm just not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about it. No, I'm going to replace it. Paul said, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are praiseworthy, whatever things are of good report, think about those things. And so here's an example. Thought comes into my mind. I don't know if I'm going to make it through today. I just got a phone call. We got a diagnosis. There's a circumstance, a situation, and I don't know if we're going to make it through this. And now I got to look at that thought and either let that thought bind me. So now all day I'm in worry. I'm fretting. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I don't know how things are going to work out. I don't know if we're going to make it through this. Instead of going, no, I need a new thought. I'm going to get a new thought. So I write down the old thought. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And then I say, scratch it out, literally with a pencil in my journal. And I write a new thought above it. And my new thought is, I have made it through every single day by the grace of God. Therefore, I have something new to think about today. And you know what it is? I'm going to make it today. And the fact that I'm here right now is proof that God has brought me through every single day. So I'm binding, I'm not going to make it, and I'm planting, no, I am going to make it. That's my new thought. I'm focusing on my new thought, and now that new thought, it's bringing peace to my heart, it's calming my soul, giving me confidence in my King, and it's allowing me to take control of my mind.
And I have a shepherd who is the Lord, who will walk with me through every valley, including the darkest valley, the valley of death. Even a loved one, a family member, a spouse, or a child, he will walk with us. You either take the thought captive or the thought will take us captive. And I know you make it very, very clear. Any other of these you'd like to comment on? We've got maybe about 5 minutes left. Is there another one you want to take off on?
Well, I think I like the one somebody says, what is that chapter, Staggered by the Mountain? I thought this was a book about, you know, taking control of your thoughts. And now it sounds like we're out on an adventure somewhere in the Swiss Alps. But that chapter is an invitation for us to get to know the shepherd that's sitting at the table. Because peace comes to our heart, not by a technique, some leadership technique or a mind control technique. The peace comes, as you're talking about, of knowing who's at the table. And I've given this message a lot of times, and I put a bounty on the table so that people can see our God is the God of abundance, number one. And I think when we think the world's against us or people are against us, everything's up against our cause, we want to have a scarcity mentality. Like, I got to hold on to what I have. But this table that we're at with the shepherd, it's laden with good things, everything we need, so that we can realize my cup's overflowing. And even in the presence of my enemies, that guy at work that is maybe against me, I can just say to him, I'm going to be for you. I'm going to be kind to you and generous to you and overflowing to you. Why? Because I'm sitting at the table with a God who has got an endless supply of love, strength, mercy, resource, whatever I need. And so I'm inviting people in this book, not just to do some things to clean and declutter their thinking. I'm inviting them to get to know God himself, to get to know the character and the person of God. Because when you know who's at your table, you are not concerned about any enemy that's surrounding you, any situation. It's Elisha all over again. He said, I'm going to pray for this servant because all he can see is the Aramean army that's surrounding us. His eyes need to be open to see that God's got everybody surrounded. He's got the whole town surrounded. He's sitting on a throne above all thrones, or chariots of fire on the hill, for crying out loud. There are angel armies everywhere on our behalf to do what God has called us to do. And so I'm inviting people, come up the mountain of God, get to know God so that you'll know I'm sitting with the king, and that king is able, more than able, to do immeasurably more than I could ask or think or imagine, so that he'll ultimately get the glory. And that's why the table's in the presence of the enemies, so they can see the look on my face while I'm sitting with the king, and they can know, man, whatever that guy's got, that's what I want.
You know what I'm thinking, Lord? I'm thinking that he needs to get the Passion Conference back up because he's full. I really want you to let that go. And I want everybody to get this book. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, we'll send it to you because we want to bless you. Any chance Passion Conference come back up within the next 6 months to a year?
Yes, I believe so. You know, we started 2020, did probably the last Christian stadium event on planet Earth on New Year's Eve. COVID shut us down. But listen to this, guys. We did an online gathering last New Year's Eve. 1 million people linked together around the world in the middle of a pandemic. So God uses everything. But we're praying and believing that we're going to be back in person in some big venue, lifting up the name of Jesus very soon. Stay tuned. Passion Conferences, I believe we're coming back.
Let me just say, all of you who are here, you know we want to bless you. And I don't like to send you this book. Let me show you something else we're doing. We want to send you the book Randy wrote, Upgrade. Now, he's explained this, and you'll hear him explaining it. But he took Proverbs, and he broke it into seven categories. And so he talks about seven moves in 7 weeks to a better life, a spiritual life. This is good stuff because Proverbs is kind of all over the place, but he's pulled it together and he boiled it down to seven distinct points. Living Amazed became an absolute, let's say, a life-changing book because Living Amazed, Divine Encounters can change your life. We have now republished the book with what I thought was very important, a table of contents that tells you all the individuals and the things that are happening. Like what could happen to a Ronald Reagan? What could happen to a Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali? What could happen to him when he has an encounter where we were blessed to be a part of. All the lives of preachers and leaders that you know, when an encounter occurred, it'll inspire you. And so we'd love to send you all these books. And Louis, what we're going to ask our viewers to do is to give clean water to people that have only filthy, contaminated, disease-ridden water. And I just want you to know, buddy, you're a real blessing to us. And I'm going to talk to our viewers right now as directly as I can, because you care so deeply about people that God wants to take in His arms. And He wants to embrace them, and He wants to meet the need that only He can meet, only love can meet. Jesus said, if you notice the least of these, the most likely unnoticed, those who feel least likely to ever be cared about, you care. And I want you right now to just look in and see a place where you can be the miracle someone never expected. This is the least of these. When you touch them, Jesus said, you minister to Him.
Waterborne illness is a killer that knows no boundaries. The death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. Miriam lives in a shack in Central America. She had to watch her son die in her arms because the only water source she has is a contaminated river. In South Asia, the journey these women make each day to collect water is filled with potential danger. Danger not from the rough terrain, but from their water source that causes sickness and all too often, the death of a child. Pitch is a young mother from a small village in Cambodia. She knows the water she collects is filled with contaminants, but she has no other option. One of her children has already died, and the other one is sick. Thousands of miles away in drought-stricken Angola, the rural clinics cannot keep up with the number of children dying from water-borne diseases.
I am by a water source that is so typical of water sources all over the world. The water is contaminated. We know for a fact in this area, disease is killing entire families and many children. Would you be an answer to the need of so many people right here and respond by giving them clean water? Thank you so much for doing it. You know, when Betty and I come to you and ask you for help, I mean, we don't wonder if you're going to help. Maybe sometimes we wonder how many will, or if some don't, why. And Father, for any who can't help, I think it breaks their heart they can't. But let them know that any gift really does matter. And to pray that all will come in Jesus' name. I believe that you want with all your heart to become the miracle. Betty, I can't imagine any of our viewers seeing how horrible the diseased water is and how simple it is to replace it, because the missionaries have shown us where there is water accessible, subsurface. Sometimes it's because they dig a borehole. A lot of times it's just dirty rivers, but you know in that land that you can access water. They don't have the resources to drill, but we together, we can do it. Our viewers have been doing
it. Absolutely. And you've been so faithful to help us with this. And we've gotten response from you that this is one of your most loved things to do to help Life Outreach, is to give them fresh, clean water. Well, we need to do it again. There's so many that still don't have that clean water. Won't you join with us and let's drill the water wells and let's give those precious little ones a cup of clean water so that the mothers don't have to bury their precious children.
You know, I wish I could lean in there, and I would want to take your hand. I wouldn't do it if somebody felt uncomfortable, but I want to be close to you. I want to lean in, and I want to say to you, you're an indescribable miracle. And those of you who've been with us for years, just putting God's arms around people, giving them water and food and setting them free, I thank you. But I know with all my heart, you want to be the miracle. You want them to have water. So whatever you can do, no gift too small. As an example, And this is where most of the money comes. Thank God there are people who drill a well. God's blessed them where they can give $4,800 or $1,200 or $2,400 and pray two others join them or another joins them and we have a well. But most of the resources come from people who give $48. You know what? You just gave 10 people water for the rest of their life. That's how it breaks out. Where could you better spend $48? $144? Many people can do that. It may be a sacrifice, but you give literally, now think about this, you give 30 people water the rest of their life. $48 gives 10. $144 gives 30. You drill a well, you give a whole village life. Please, right now, go online or dial the number, get your bank card and use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail, and then do it, and we'll look forward to that. Thank you so much for being a miracle today.
Waterborne illness is a killer that strikes the most vulnerable. For many impoverished families, the death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, fresh drinking water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you James Robison's book, Living Amazed. Full of inspirational true stories, you'll learn how divine encounters can change your life. In addition, you'll also receive Randy Robison's brand new devotional, Upgrade, 7 Moves in 7 Weeks to a Better Life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Thin Line Bible with easy-to-read large print. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, Betty and I not only pray for God to meet the needs that we talk about, but we thank Him because we believe He is. And just thank you for loving the overlooked, the too often forgotten, the least of these. We'll send you the book and the other things that we told you about if you'll just give a cup of water. God bless all of you. Louis, God bless you. Thanks for being with us.
Always love being with you guys. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Thank you for what you do. You are a blessing. God bless you.
Tomorrow on Life Today, join James and Betty as they remind us to share the love that never fails with a world filled with hate. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.